All right, well, let's shift gears entirely and talk about the fact that, yeah, the weather is a bit nasty outside, but if you look closely, there are signs of spring.
You see his gut hanging over the top of his shorts, spilling all over the place, and you're like, good God, could you at least try? Could you try a little bit?
A little bit! That's Tony Maserati on CBS Sports Hub Monday talking about Red Sox third baseman Pablo Sandoval, who showed up to spring training looking healthy in a hefty way. Is that a good way to describe
well
it,
fed.
Bill? Well-fed.
Yeah.
Ample.
Prosperous is the Dickensian adjective for that condition.
Exactly. Well, to talk about all things baseball and spring training, we're joined now by Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
It's a joy to be back, Megan.
It's a pleasure to have you, as always. So let's talk about this. I mean, the pictures were hard to avoid, and fans were reacting to these photos cropping up of Sandoval and his protruding, prosperous belly. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of a throwback, I think, because you and I and baseball fans today are used to incredibly well-conditioned athletes who are paid so well that they can afford personal trainers, and those trainers work with them all year round.
Yeah.
So spring training is really sort of a joke for most of these guys because they show up in perfect shape. All they have to do is kind of get their batting eye back or, you know, maybe work a little on their footwork if they're changing from, you know, being an outfielder to a first baseman or something like that. But this is a throwback to the days of Babe Ruth, you know, where he would show up at spring training and put on a rubber suit and run in the hot sun, trying to lose the 35 or 40 pounds that he had put on over the winter drinking beer and eating hot dogs
dear.
And whatever else appealed to him on a given day. So it's not
a new
thing.
Was Babe Ruth ever 255 pounds?
Babe Ruth was enormous at the end of his career, no question about it, and got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
and of course, the other thing is age. You know, this is what happens as people get older. It's harder to take that weight off, and I think Pablo Sandoval may be kind of edging into that territory.
Okay, but if I may mirror a little bit of Tony Maserati's outrage here, do I have this right? I mean, Sandoval has a 5-year, $95 million deal. I mean, the whole could you at least try a little bit?
I don't understand
bit? Come
the problem.
On.
$95 million, you can buy a lot of groceries. What's the
and
you
that
know,
trainer
what do they expect
that you
them
were
to
talking
do with all
about?
That? I don't know. It's you know, all this will go away if he hits 3 home runs on opening day. But yes, of course, people have to have something to talk about when spring training begins, and especially if you're a talk radio program, you have to have something to talk about when spring training begins. And this is what they're talking about this time around.
Okay, so this is another thing that I love about the story. Sandoval is known as Kung Fu Panda.
Sure.
There are some things I never imagined I would actually say on public radio, but a Red Sox player, Kung Fu Panda, and his weight was a constant problem even when he was with the Giants. And I'm seeing that Red Sox manager John Farrell told reporters yesterday that he didn't ask Sandoval to lose weight, just report in better condition. I mean, is that a good move by management, or should they be asking for more?
Well, again, it was a kind of an issue when Sandoval played in San Francisco, but not much of an issue because he played really well in San Francisco. He was beloved in San Francisco, you know, in part, I think, because he didn't look like, you know, for fans of a certain age, Jim Rice, mm-hmm. you know, who looked like a Superman. And, you know, there are athletes who look that way, and then there's the athletes who look kind of more like the rest of us. and people identified
okay.
with the Kung Fu Panda,
yeah.
and they bought Kung Fu Panda shirts and things, and they kind of liked it. So
yeah, he's a $95 million player for the rest of us.
Right.
I love it. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Well, so you took your gentle shot at sports talk radio, and I'll let them speak for themselves again here. Here's Red Sox chairman Tom Werner on WEEI yesterday.
As a fan, of course I'm disappointed, but... But at the same time, it's March. This guy is a professional who knows that what's really important is that he perform better this year.
Okay, and the season starts on April 3rd. So Werner there basically saying what you said.
Yeah.
Time to play. We'll make our judgments when he plays.
Exactly right. And it did take him a long time to get the word professional out, didn't it?
It did.
That's a little alarming.
All right, Bill, now that we've exhausted everything there is to talk about regarding prosperous Red Sox players. Give me a preview on what you're working on for Only a Game this
week. Well, we're doing the usual great and spectacular mix of stories somehow related to sports. But one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Casey at the Bat, that beloved old poem, and we'll have some recordings of the most famous manifestation of Casey at the Bat. And we'll sort of play with the themes in it a little bit. And I'll do a little bit of suggesting of how it might have been altered. Were there another ending? I mean, people will remember that Casey strikes out with two men on base. And I wrote a little verse to save him from that humiliation. It goes like this. The sneer is gone from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. Alas, for what he might do next, it's suddenly too late. For Flynn, an absent-minded guy, a goofy sort of bird, has wandered off the base a bit and been picked off the third. So Casey's standing with the bat on his shoulder as the third out happens elsewhere.
Maybe, I mean, see, it all comes full circle here.
Absolutely. Casey doesn't have to worry. He's old, he's overweight, but Flynn gets picked off, so no problem. Of course, that's not the way it happens in the Ernest Thayer poem.
No.
But we'll hear more about that on Saturday.
The delightful prose and verse, I should say, from Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear it on Saturdays right here on WBUR, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, always great to have you. Thanks.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be right back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.